Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Witchy Whiskers by Danielle Garrett. Narrated by Amanda Ronconi. 1. The sun sank toward the jagged mountain range bordering Winterspell's northwestern edge. Its red-gold light reflected off the crystal-clear lake in the center of town, turning it into a pool of amber fire. Wistfully, I stared out the window from my place behind the cash register and stifled an impatient sigh. There were only 20 minutes to closing, and on another night I might have closed early and headed to the lake to soak up the tail end of the sunset. But tonight my magical candle shop, Wicked Wicks, was unusually busy with half a dozen customers still perusing the display shelves. Even after ringing up everyone's purchases and shepherding the last of them out the door, I'd still need to tidy up the sales floor. No matter how careful or diligent my clientele were, inevitably merchandise got put back in the wrong place, and sometimes even damaged or broken. By the time I finished, the sun would be gone. Maybe tomorrow I'd have better luck. In any case, I couldn't complain. Being an entrepreneur had its challenges. But I was fortunate to own a successful shop in a small town, and from a quick glance around the shop, it looked as though I'd have another run of sales to cap off the day. Besides, a quiet night didn't sound too bad. Earlier that afternoon, Shanna, one of the fairies who worked at the Winterspell Library, had popped over to let me know two of my hold requests had come in. I could stop by on my bike ride home and pick them up, then maybe grab something from Whimsy's Delicatessen. I'd tell myself I would only read a few chapters and get to sleep at a decent hour, but I knew that was a lie. That was part of the thrill of it, getting sucked into a juicy chapter right before bed. A young man approached the counter and caught my attention. He looked in his late teens, with a lanky build, and a mop of sandy blonde hair that looked a good few weeks past due for a cut. Then again, maybe that was the in-style look these days. I was only 34 years old, but my own teen years may as well have been a millennium ago, according to this new generation. I smiled politely. "Can I help you?" The young man raked his fingers through the hair falling across his forehead. "Maybe," he said. "Do you have any candles that can make you dream about being something? Like, well, maybe... like a superhero?" Without missing a beat, I skirted around the short counter and went to a colorful display near the window. I picked up two different candles, one red, one blue. "Are you a Marvel guy or DC?"
DC. "Batman, specifically, I guess," the young man said.
I extended the blue candle toward him, and his brows lifted as he took it from me. He turned it over in his hand, inspecting the waxy exterior.
"So this thing really works, huh?"
I laughed softly. "I offer a money-back guarantee. Burn it for at least 30 minutes before you go to sleep, think Batman thoughts, or read one of your favorite comics, and I promise you'll be protecting Gotham City as soon as you close your eyes." The teen gave an appreciative nod at the candle and then lifted his aqua blue eyes up to me, a hint of pink appearing in his cheeks.
"Any chance I might meet Catwoman in this dream?"
Aha. I suppressed a knowing grin. "The magic works with your imagination, sort of feeding off your conscious thoughts and then opening the gateway for it to play out in your dreams. I can't promise anything specific beyond the intention of the candle, in this case, superhero."
"Cool."
Satisfied, he tucked the candle under his arm and followed me back to the register. I rang him up and sent him on his way. No sooner had he left than another customer approached the counter. A middle-aged woman held up a sparkling black tapered candle.
"Do you have any more of these night sky candles?"
My lips quirked to one side as I peered past the woman and saw that the candle's designated basket was indeed empty. "The Celestial Starscape is one of my most popular candles," I said, as I returned my gaze to the woman. "Generally, I keep all of my inventory on the floor, but I'll go see if I have any extras in the back."
"Don't bother,"
the woman said, her expression sour.
At these prices, I shouldn't buy two anyway. I'll just break this one in half. I shook my head. I'm afraid that won't work. It's intended to burn as is. If you'd like, I do offer a customer loyalty program. If you spend... Ugh, save it, the woman scoffed. I smiled through my incredulity as the woman tossed the candle back into a basket, the wrong one, and left the store empty-handed. Some people just liked to complain. It was one of the inevitable truths of working retail. I'd learned to accept it, mostly. As the woman left, another customer walked in. She was a young mother with a baby on one hip and a small child following after her, talking excitedly about the airplane toy he held overhead as he marched along behind his mom. I knew what she wanted before she even had to ask, and with a smile, I pulled a box out from underneath the register. I snagged these for you before I sold out again, I told her.
Oh, may the goddess bless you,
she exclaimed as she rushed to the counter. She plopped her baby daughter next to the register and dug into her cross-body bag to dig out her wallet. I smiled and started ringing up the purchase. Lydia was one of my regulars. She came in most Thursday afternoons to stock up on relaxation candles. She told me once that her mother-in-law watched her two young kids on weekend afternoons, and she used the time to recharge her batteries. Hence the candles. Lydia and I made small talk for a couple of minutes, then she hurried away, waving back at me as she passed by the front window on the way to her next errand.
At least the little brat didn't break anything this time,
a cold voice said behind me. Frowning, I turned to the gray-furred leonine form lounging atop the display case behind the cash register. The cat's ears went back.
Why haven't you kicked these people out of here so we can leave?
That's not how this works, Celine, I replied, keeping my voice low. These are my customers. It's my job to help make sure they get everything they need.
Please,
she scoffed, adding a flick of her tail for emphasis.
This modern notion of customer service is so tiresome. You go to a shop in Europe, they treat you like total crap, and the customers know better than to complain. It's just expected.
I rolled my eyes. Well, this isn't Europe. If I started acting like that, I could kiss my business goodbye.
I doubt that. Just look at all these fools, buying your silly candles to create the same effect as a plastic projector from IKEA.
I shot the cat a scowl. Celine was being crotchety and exaggerating, as usual. The fact was, my celestial starscape candle did a lot more than simply project the image of a night sky across a wall. It created a magical illusion, synced to the night sky, one so detailed and dynamic, it truly made one feel like they were floating far above the earth, watching the celestial seas ebb and flow. But Celine liked to argue, and I refused to give in to her baiting. So, rather than try to explain how my magic candles worked for the umpteenth time, I ignored her and went to circle the shop, checking in with the handful of remaining customers. I rang up a few more sales before the clock reached the top of the hour. A soft chime rippled through the shop, signaling it was now closing time. My regulars knew what the sound meant, but out-of-towners and tourists mostly ignored it. Two more customers filtered out without purchasing anything, and I went to clean up the shelves where they'd been looking before winding back to my last remaining customer. I'd noticed him from the moment he'd walked through my door. For one thing, he was wearing a three-piece suit, something of a rarity in our casual lakeside town. On top of that, he was one of the most handsome men I'd seen in Winterspell. He had thoughtful eyes that moved through the store with intense scrutiny, though if he'd noticed me at all, it was only in a passing glance. He'd been perusing the aisles unassisted for the last half hour and seemed lost in his own thoughts as he moved amongst the other customers. But now we were alone, well, save for Celine, and she'd better keep her big mouth closed. I'd be mortified if she came down from her perch to start hassling the man into leaving the shop, now that we were officially closed for the night. With a little flutter of nerves, I approached the man in the suit and cleared my throat softly. "Did you have any questions I could answer?" His dark brown eyes darted over to me and took in the fact I was wearing a sales apron. My stomach sank a little as I realized he held one of my date night candles. I quickly gave myself a mental kick for being disappointed. Of course, he had a love interest. He glanced around the shop as if only just realizing he was the last customer left. He quickly brought his attention back to me.
Yes, actually. I probably could use some advice, he said.
His voice had a velvet, honeyed quality that felt warm and inviting. Of course, I replied, a little too eagerly. Celine noticed.
Oi, we're never getting out of here, she muttered from her perch.
The man's brows rose. Ignore her, I said, flapping a dismissive hand back toward the register.
Right. I'm looking to put together a gift for my mother, he continued. You've got a lot of interesting options here, and I want to make sure I find something she would like.
Oh! I smiled and gestured at the candle he clasped with one hand. In that case, I think you might want to put that one back.
Really?
His face contorted in a frown as he stared at the candle.
I picked this one up because pink is her favorite color.
Well, that might be the case, but that candle has a very specific effect. It's meant to increase the libido. I laughed softly as the man's eyes went wide and he treated the candle like a hot potato, nearly dropping it before swiftly replacing it on the shelf.
I don't think she's going to go for that, no, he said, accepting my laugh with good grace. I'm in town visiting, and I guess I didn't fully realize how this all worked.
No problem. I get a lot of tourists in here. I would have checked in with you sooner, but it's been a little busy this evening. I turned my body to draw attention back to the shelves before us. All of the candles are magically imbued and have a specific purpose. Some of them are meant to create an atmosphere or set a specific mood. Others are meant to be burned before going to bed to create certain types of dreams.
Wow, that's impressive, he remarked. I'll confess I live outside the magical world, so I sometimes forget things like this are even possible.
Where do you live?
Chicago, he replied with a short nod. I'm a business consultant.
I've never been. Do you like it?
It has its perks, but then there's no magic candle shops there, he said with a chuckle.
I smiled, and when his eyes found mine, they seemed to really take me in for the first time.
I'm Clint Bridges, he said, offering his hand to me.
I shook it once.
Cora Harth. Nice to meet you, Cora. So you think you can help me find just the right candle for my mother?
Most definitely. Let me show you some of my other stock, though. Most of these items here are made with romance in mind. I gestured for him to follow, and we walked around to the other side of the shelf. It might help if you told me a little bit about your mother.
She's an earth witch, and, she likes bird watching, and...
Clint trailed off for a moment, then sighed.
Sorry, this is a lot harder than I thought. You see, I actually haven't seen my mother in quite a few years.
No problem. I'm sure we can find something. I plucked a green candle from the shelf. Dried hibiscus petals were nestled in the wax around the wick. This is a really popular one around Mother's Day. Burning this will fill a small room with the illusion of a tropical waterfall. Everything will look, sound, and smell like you're right at the base of some remote waterfall in Hawaii, with little twinkling fairy lights blinking all around.
That sounds great, he said. I can't believe I've never heard of this kind of thing before.
I smiled. I can't claim to be the first witch to capture illusions in candle wax, but I do work really hard to make sure I include as many olfactory and auditory elements as I can within each of my products. Clint stared at the candle with reverence. Smiling, I hitched one shoulder. Sometimes I tell people to think of it like the holodeck from Star Trek.
That I understand, Clint said, laughing softly.
Aha, a fellow nerd, I teased.
Tell you what, how about a little demonstration?
Oh, sure. It's not like you're cutting into someone's dinner time,
Celine complained from across the room.
Yes, well, unless someone wants to eat dry kitty kibble for the next week, someone better pipe down,
I called over my shoulder before taking the candle from Clint's hand with a determined set to my jaw.
Are you sure?
Clint asked, his gaze darting past my left shoulder for a flicker of a moment. I really don't have to keep you any longer.
It's more than fine, I told him. Celine is perfectly capable of finding her own dinner. She's just fussy and spoiled.
Clint still looked a little unsure, but he followed me to the front counter where I kept a silver display candelabra for just such an occasion. I set the waterfall candle in place and lit a match. The wick caught, and the candle sparked to life. For a moment, nothing changed. Then, a whisper of a breeze swirled through the shop.
It smells like hibiscus,
Clint said, tilting his chin up.
Is that the flowers or the magic? How long does it take to...
The walls, shelves, and merchandise vanished. Clint and I now stood in a tropical cove, surrounded by lush greenery and a slick rocky wall on three sides. Behind Clint, the falls rushed into the pool of crystal clear water below, and soft fairy lights twinkled over our heads like giant lightning bugs among the foliage.
Wow, this is really impressive.
Clint's voice held a note of genuine admiration that pleased me.
What happens if I try to walk around? Will I bump into a shelf?
I shook my head. No, your mind is fooled into walking around them. My candles are 100% safe. The range isn't too much bigger than the space of the shop, and if you were to go through the door, the illusion would break for you before you could accidentally stumble out into traffic. Clint walked around, testing the boundaries of the spell, before returning to my side. This time he stood a little closer, and for a moment even I got caught up in the illusion. Clint smiled down at me, his deep brown eyes gleaming.
This is incredible. You have a really special talent, Cora.
Thank you, I said, letting myself bask in it for a moment longer before snuffing the candle out. The illusion faded almost instantly, and we were once again in my cozy, if not overstuffed, little shop. Clint shook his head, still marveling at the whole experience.
That was amazing. I'm definitely getting her this candle. What else do you have?
He reached for a display of persimmon-colored globes the size of softballs.
Night spice, what does this one do?
I tucked my lips together for a moment, suppressing the urge to giggle. Clint quirked a brow. Gently, I took it from his hand and set it back on the display.
Let's just say it gives dreams of an, amorous nature.
Wow, I sure can pick them, can I? Clint laughed once again. I liked his laugh. It was unforced, and he wasn't afraid to direct it at himself.
It's a good thing I'm in the hands of an expert.
I felt my cheeks flush. The chemistry with Clint was definitely there. It had been a long time since I had felt the peculiar thrill of excitement that came from a bit of flirting. My last few dates had left much to be desired in the departments of charm and savoir-faire. Clint was a refreshing change.
I promise not all of my candles are intended for honeymooners, I teased lightly, as I snagged a candle on the opposite end of the display from the night spice.
She might like this one. It creates an illusion of the Venice Canal from the point of view of a gondola floating down the famed waterways. You also said she likes pink. I have one over here that creates a field of lavender at dusk. It's not hot pink, but kind of a rosebud pink. Clint followed me around the shop, agreeing to all of my suggestions. And after 10 minutes, we'd managed to fill an entire wicker shopping basket. As I added in the last of my Citrus Grove candles, I realized I'd never asked what his budget was for the gift. Granted, judging by the looks of his tailored suit, loafers, and carefully coiffed hair, he wasn't hurting for money. After depositing the candle, I clasped my hands together in front of me. Well, what do you think?
I think I need to tell my personal trainer we need to work on my endurance, Clint jested, making a show of heaving the overloaded basket onto the counter before grabbing his biceps in jest.
I laughed and scurried to get back behind the register.
Dusk had officially fallen over the small town, and after a quick glance at the clock, I realized I'd missed my window to stop by the library and pick up my holds. Somehow, I didn't mind all that much anymore.
I think you've made great choices, I told Clint as I started totaling up the order. Your mother is a lucky lady to have such a thoughtful son.
Something flickered in Clint's eyes, and he looked out the front window for a long moment. Sensing I'd stepped on some kind of emotional landmine, I busied myself with getting a paper bag ready.
Aren't you going to upsell this into a gift basket?
Celine interjected. I straightened.
If you're going to make me wait all night, you might as well get your full money's worth out of the sap.
The cat groused.
Clint shifted his attention back to me. I was about to scold Celine for being so rude. Not that it would make a difference. But to my surprise, instead of being offended, Clint laughed.
A gift basket sounds like just what this sap needs.
I'm so sorry about her, I whispered. You really don't have to.
No, I insist. That is, if you have the time. I know I've already kept you.
I knew my cheeks were a bright shade of pink as I set about wrapping the candles and arranging them into a large basket. I don't mind.
Celine looked on with feline judgment as I finished arranging the basket. In total, Clint's order came to over $200, a sum that far exceeded my typical order. Even if he weren't handsome and charming, I would have been happy to stay well past closing for the sale alone. He flashed a black credit card, and I ran it through. While we waited for the receipt to print, Clint thanked me once more for my assistance.
You're very welcome, I replied, smiling as I handed him the receipt. He tucked it into the inside pocket of his suit jacket, matching my smile.
I know I've already asked a lot of you, but...
Oh boy, here we go, Celine sighed.
Undeterred, Clint pressed on.
I'd be grateful if you could give me a recommendation for dinner.
Oh, I blinked. Sure. There's quite a few good places in town. It sort of depends on what you're in the mood for. Whimsy's Deli is great for fast and easy. There's Elephant's Palace, which has great Indian cuisine.
That sounds like it could hit the spot.
It's just a few shops down from here, I said, gesturing out the front window in the direction of the restaurant. They're open for another 3 hours.
Is there any chance you might be free to join me, now that you've gotten rid of your last annoying customer?
Clint asked, with a shy half-smile. Celine flew over my shoulder and landed with a light thump on the counter.
Unless my eyesight is failing, it looks like he's still here, she commented,
glowering up at Clint with her bright blue eyes. Great. My first decent dinner date invitation in months, and my mouthy familiar was going to chase him off just to spite me. Generally speaking, a familiar was meant to assist a witch, to be her helper and confidant. Celine was interested in none of those things. She had two modes, sarcastic and grumpy. And even on her best day, she wouldn't so much as twitch a whisker to help me out of a bind. I jabbed the tip of my finger against her hindquarter.
I'd be delighted, I told Clint, hoping it struck the right balance between enthusiasm and casualness. The last thing I wanted was to sound desperate.
Great. Let me go put this in the car and we can walk over to the restaurant.
Nodding, I turned and began pulling my apron off over my head.
That sounds...
The chime on the front door interrupted me, and I raised my voice, not really looking at the new would-be patron.
I'm sorry, but we just closed.
Closed? Surely you can make an exception for me.
The sound of the all-too-familiar voice sent my heart plunging to the bottom of my stomach, faster than an elevator car with a snapped cable. Swinging around, my jaw dropped at the sight of the blue-eyed man standing in the entrance of the shop with his hands in his front pockets. Somehow, I managed to get out a single word. "Roger?"
"Honey, I'm home," he said, his smile failing as his gaze darted to Clint and then back to me.
My magic candles could temporarily alter reality, but when the wick sputtered and the flame died out, real life was always there, waiting on the other side of the illusion. This was especially true when it came to Roger. There wasn't a spell I could cast to scrub away his memory. All the magic in the world couldn't get rid of one's ex-husband. 2. Seeing Roger again felt like the emotional equivalent of popping the top off one of those cans of fake peanut brittle. Only instead of spring-loaded rubber snakes, I was hit in the face by a full-on tsunami of memories. What are you doing here, Roger?" I asked, as my fingers toyed with the shred of leftover wrapping paper left on the counter. I swallowed hard and hoped my expression didn't reveal the panicked way my heart was beating in my chest.
"It's good to see you too, Cora," Roger replied with a quick grin. "I thought you might be a little more excited to see me."
Before I could reply, Clint turned and gestured for his gift basket, his expression a little hurt.
"Seems like maybe we need to put a pin in that dinner."
"Dinner, huh?" Roger said, cocking an eyebrow in my direction.
"Is this guy a customer or your boyfriend?"
Celine perked up.
"Ooh, are you two going to fight?"
"No one is going to fight," I snapped. Pitching the scrap paper into the trash basket, I exhaled. "Clint, this is my ex-husband, Roger." "There, that should be the final nail in that particular coffin. Oh well, it was fun while it lasted, anyway."
"Clint?"
Roger repeated, taking a lumbering step toward him. He sized him up, which felt a little caveman and unnecessary, especially considering they were almost the same height. The difference between them was that Roger had a swimmer's build, with broad shoulders and a trim waist, whereas Clint was slimmer overall, but was likely not too far off Roger's weight.
"I see,"
Clint said, offering a brief smile as he inclined his head in a polite nod.
"And you're Cora's what exactly?"
"Roger, that really isn't any of your..."
"New friend,"
Clint replied.
"Uh-huh."
Roger's smile seemed genial enough.
"Nice suit. You work at the bank or something?"
This is boring,"
Celine complained. She jumped down from the front counter and marched to the front door. Despite her demands, I still hadn't installed a cat flap, so she was forced to wait until someone opened it for her. With an expectant huff, she shifted her icy glare up at Roger.
"Hey, you with the untucked shirt, make yourself useful and open this door."
"Since when are you a cat person?"
Roger asked me. I shot Celine a dark look. "Believe me, I'm not." Celine's tail swished.
"You're not a cat person. I'm not a witch cat."
"Wait, I know where I've seen you before. You belong to Cora's crazy aunt."
Celine's eyes went pure glacier as she glared up at Roger, then flicked her tail, and a crack snapped through the air. The pulse of magic wasn't powerful enough to actually harm someone or cause damage to anything in the shop, but it had its intended result as Roger flinched and took a few steps back from the tiny 10-pound feline. Celine flashed her teeth and a satisfied smirk.
"I'll get the door,"
Clint said, hurrying to gather the large gift basket.
"Thank you again for your help, Cora. Maybe I'll see you around before I leave town."
My heart twisted as he turned his back. "Here, let me help." I walked out from behind the counter, keeping my stride quite calm in spite of the storm brewing in my belly. Likewise, my facial expression remained inscrutable as I nudged past Roger to the front door of my shop. As soon as I pushed it open, Celine made a run for it, streaking down the sidewalk without a backward glance. Clint.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?